Gospel of Luke tonight, the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 7, where you'll find your place tonight to help the Lord. I'm going to preach Luke chapter number 7. I don't know if it's allergies or if it's wear and tear or if I got a little bit of the crud the last couple of weeks that everybody's had, but my throat has been giving me a fit on Sunday evenings, especially the last couple of weeks. So y'all pray for me that we can get through this. But Luke, Gospel, you there? Chapter number 7, say amen. All right, Luke's Gospel, chapter 7, beginning in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. A certain centurion's servant, who was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. When he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them. When he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but saying a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, Go, and he goeth, and to another, Come, and he cometh. To my servant, Do this, and he doeth. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent returning to the house found the servant whole that had been sick. Father, in Jesus' name, pray you'd help us tonight. We need you to touch. I need you, Lord, physically and spiritually. Lord, I pray that you touch me. Lord, just a vessel of clay, but Lord, I long to be used of you. And I pray that, Lord, you'd help these people to have ears to hear. And may the Word of God find a lodging place in our heart. And may you challenge us. May you help us to stretch our faith tonight and use this message as a springboard to a deeper life and to new heights in our Christian walk. Lord, I pray you'd help us. We need you. We thank you for all you've done for us. And I pray you'd help us just continue to walk in with you. And as the song says, new heights help us to gain every day. God help us. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I'm preaching tonight on this thought, a rare case. A rare case in this Gospel of Luke, chapter number 7. This particular chapter we see and we get a view into the life, into the ministry of the earthly life of Christ. We see in this chapter a glimpse of his compassionate care, not just for the world, but for individuals. You'll notice if you were to read through chapter number 7, you would see his compassion here in verse number 1 through 10 towards a dying servant. If you were to continue reading in the next few verses of chapter 7, verses 11 through 17, you'll see Christ's compassion towards a grieving widow. And then you would see in verses 18 through 35, his compassion towards a discouraging slash doubting prophet, John the Baptist. And then you would see in the latter part of the remaining verses 36 through 50, his compassion towards a repentant sinner who bowed at his feet. What we find in this chapter is what we find in the gospel message is that Jesus was moved with compassion throughout his earthly ministry. And may I say, he is moved with compassion even today. I thank God for the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God that when he sees us in need, I'm talking about individually, he comes to where we are. He will meet us where we are. He knows exactly what we're going through. Peter said you can cast all your care on him. He cares for you. I don't know what you're going through tonight. I don't know where you are in your Christian walk tonight. I don't know what you're facing tonight or tomorrow. But just as sure as God made little green apples, can I tell you that whatever you're going through, whatever you're facing, wherever you are, the next step you have to take by faith, I'm telling you tonight that Jesus Christ cares and he's moved with compassion and he'll help you in whatever you face. Here in verse 1 through 10, I want us to focus tonight on this rare case we have here in the Gospels. The Bible said that when Jesus had ended all his saying in the audience of people, that he entered into a place called Capernaum. Now, Capernaum was a name. The name Capernaum means a village of comfort. A village of comfort. It's interesting that as he approaches a place called Capernaum, or a village of comfort, he finds some people there who are in need of comfort. And I realize here, as we look into this passage tonight, I want you to realize this Capernaum is situated in Galilee. It's along the shore of Galilee, shoreline of the Sea of Galilee. It's down now near where the Jordan River enters into the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus is coming into that region. And as he comes into that region, we find here that he is introduced to a man who has a servant who has palsy. Matthew 5, we find that detail, that not only is he sick, but he's sick with palsy. And the Bible said in chapter 7, verse number 2, that he was ready to die. He was sick and he was ready to die. This boy didn't just have the flu or a little cold, but this boy was sick with palsy, Matthew told us in Matthew 5. And he said he is ready to die. And so what we find here is we find a rare case. And I want you to look with me tonight as we study about this, as we look into the Word of God. I want you to notice some rare aspects in this record. Some rare aspects in this record. Number one, write this down. There was a rare centurion. A rare centurion. Now, if you know anything about the Bible and you study a little bit of history, a centurion was an officer in the Roman army, and he was a captain over 100 men. That's what we get the word centurion from, century, 100. He was a captain over 100 men. Now, this centurion here, the Bible said, was a certain centurion. He was not your typical Roman centurion. I want you to notice some things that made him a rare centurion. Think about, number one, his character. Number one, his character. In verse number 4, when those Jewish people described him, in verse number 4, they besought Jesus, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. Now, understand, you do understand that Romans and the Jews weren't exactly best friends. The Jews are living in the Roman Empire, and here they are. They're actually waiting on Messiah to come and deliver them from the Romans and from that Roman rule. But the Bible said, when they described this one, this certain centurion, they said that he was worthy. In other words, he had a need. He had something that he was asking. And they are going to Jesus on his behalf, and they are saying, "Hey, Jesus, this man is worthy." Speaking of his character, the Jews deemed him worthy or deserving, fitting for this request. Number two, not only was we see something about his character that was rare, but we see his compassion was rare. The verse number 5, they describe him as saying, "For he loveth our nation." He loveth our nation. He loveth the nation of the Jews. He loveth our nation. Now we know that he loved his servant. We see that in his action. He loved his servant who worked for him. But he cared, is what we get out of this. He not only did he care for his servant, but he cared and loved the nation. He cared for others. Now, this is interesting because typically a Roman soldier, especially a Roman centurion, would be somewhat of a stoic. He would hide himself from the feelings of others. He would sort of ignore and turn his back on the pain and the hurt of other individuals. But what the Bible shows us here is that he cared about his servant. And not only did he love his servant, but he loved the nation of Israel. He loved our nation. He did not hide from their pain. He did not hide from their hurt. But this man cared about them. We see his character, we see his compassion, and we see his care. Verse number 5, not only did he love our nation, but they went on to say, and hath built us a synagogue. Hath built us a synagogue. This is a centurion. He's over Roman soldiers. Roman soldiers were mean dudes. Y'all remember they're the ones that took Jesus to the cross at Calvary. And this particular certain centurion, not only did he love them, he didn't just tell them that he loved them. He showed them that he cared. The Bible said he built them a synagogue. Now, a synagogue is the Jewish house of worship. It's where they would go and carry out their religious ceremonies. They would go and have prayer. They would go and read Scripture. They would go and debate and discuss the Scriptures. They would go and worship. And here is a Roman soldier that said, I love you and I care about you. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to build you a synagogue. I'm going to build you a place to worship. Wouldn't that be interesting? Take a roughneck politician, some kind of soldier out here, and he walks up to the church and says, hey, y'all need a new building. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to buy y'all a brand new building. I'm not one of you, but I care about you. That's what happened here. This man cared about you. I'm telling you, this was a rare centurion. Not any other centurion probably would have done this, but this particular certain centurion was a rare breed. Hey, watch this. The Bible tells us and shows us that he cared for his servant, verse 2 and 3. His servant was sick, ready to die, and he heard of Jesus, and so he sent off for help. He said, I care about my servant. And now we see not only does he care about his servant, but he cares about the nation of Israel, and he cares about the Jews around him under his jurisdiction. He said, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to build y'all a synagogue. What about that? Not only that, I want you to see number two. Not only was there a rare centurion, but there was a rare call. Verse number two, we see that his servant was sick, ready to die. In verse three, when he heard, that is the centurion, when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. Now, let me just say this up front. This was not the normal practice of a Roman soldier. It would not have been customary in his day for a Roman, much less a Roman soldier, to admit a need to a Jew. Much less to not only admit a need to a Jew, but to ask a Jew to meet that need. The Romans were in control. The Romans were the powerful empire. And so he is hearing about Jesus. And so upon hearing about Jesus, he sends off and says, Jesus, can you help my servant? Now, notice this rare call was a response to what this man had heard. It was a response. Notice verse number 2. It says, and a certain centurion's servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. In verse 3, and when he heard of Jesus, I don't know everything that he heard of Jesus, but I know the Bible says that he heard of Jesus. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. I don't know if he heard about the nobleman's son. I don't know if he heard about the wedding at Cana. I don't know what he heard, but somewhere along the line, hey, this old boy, this certain centurion, this old boy had heard something about Jesus. Somebody throughout the town, somebody in the community, somebody along the way, somebody in his life path, somebody told him about a man named Jesus. Evidently, they didn't tell him that Jesus only existed, but they told him about a man named Jesus that could change things, that could turn things around, that could change his situation. He believed and he had heard that there was a man named Jesus that was his servant that was dear unto him, was sick and dying, ready to die. He knew that there was a man named Jesus that if he could reach out and get help, he could find help in Jesus. Aren't you glad for the day? Hey, you was lost in sin, you was heading the wrong way, but somebody came your way, hallelujah, and told you about a man named Jesus. You didn't know all the I's and know how to cross the T's and dot the I's. You didn't know all the particulars. You didn't know everything. But you heard that Jesus loved you, that Jesus cared for you. And if you reach out, he can change your life. He can turn your situation around. He can put you on a new course. Hallelujah for Jesus. He heard about Jesus. And evidently, he heard that Jesus could turn things around. And so his request, his call, was a response to what he had heard. May I ask you a question? What are others hearing about Jesus from your lips? Matthew 5, verse number 7, we find that Jesus responded to this centurion's request. And he said these words, I will come and heal him. Matthew gives us a little detail there that Luke doesn't quite give us. Matthew 5, 7, Jesus said, I will come and heal him. And then we see in verse number 6, that Jesus went with them and he was not now far from the house, the centurion sent his friends saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I'm not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Verse 7, wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee. What do you see here? We see not only is his call a response to what he heard, but his call is a revelation of his humility. It's a revelation of his humility. He said, I'm not worthy. The idea, he said, I'm not fit. I'm not sufficient. I'm not one that you would come to his house. I don't deserve you. This was a man with some rank. This was a man with some pull in society. This was a man with some authority. And he has evidently heard about Jesus. He's evidently heard a lot about Jesus. He heard Jesus could turn it around. And from what he's heard about Jesus, he sends the message to Jesus. Jesus, don't come to the house. I'm not worthy. Once again, this is not typical talk for a Roman person, much less a Roman soldier, to tell a Jew that. So he knew Jesus was something special. Verse 7, he said, neither am I myself worthy to come to unto thee. Unto thee? He said, I don't even deserve to come into your presence. I'm sending messengers down there where you are. You don't have to come to my house. It's a revelation of humility. He didn't say, well, look at me. I'm this, and I've got a title, and I've got men under me. So you're going to come to my house, and you're going to... No. He said, Jesus, I'm not worthy for you to come to my house. Matter of fact, I didn't even think that I was worthy to come to where you are. Here's what he said. Just saying a word. You know what he says to Jesus? He's saying to Jesus in verse number 7. He said, saying a word and my servant shall be healed. Watch verse 8. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth. What he's telling Jesus, he said, Jesus, you don't have to come to my house. I'm not worthy of that. Matter of fact, I don't even think it's worthy for me to come to where you are. But he said, Jesus, in this Roman Empire, I am under someone, and then I have people under me, and I understand that I have delegated authority, and I'm able to tell them to come and to go and do this, do that. And when I tell them to come, they come. When I tell them to go, they go. When I tell them to do something, they do it. I have that authority. And he said, Jesus, what I believe is I believe you have authority and you have the same type of authority that if you speak the word and you say come, it can come. And if you say go, it will go. And if you say do this, it'll do that. That's what this young man is telling Jesus. He believed that Jesus could command and it would be done. He says to Jesus that he could command his servants and they obey him. They obey his commands, and thus he believes that Jesus can speak to this sickness, to this disease, to this problem that he has, and this disease, sickness, whatever it may be, palsy, would have to obey Jesus. A rare call. A rare call. Number three, a rare cure. A rare cure. I'm glad Jesus is able. I'm glad Jesus is able to meet the need. In verse number 10, we see, remember, he's already told them, I will come and heal him. In verse number 10, and they that were sent returning to the house, they found the servant whole that had been sick. They found him whole that had been sick. Now, if you read the story the way I read the story, Jesus was not even present in the man's house. Jesus was not even on the location. He was close. He was near unto the house. He was getting closer. He was on the way, but he never quite made it to the house. Never anywhere else has a prophet or an apostle healed anyone without being in their presence. Jesus was not present, but he healed by his word. Isn't that what the man said? But say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. And that's exactly what Jesus did. There was no touch. There was no grab a hold of, slapping in the head. There was no touch. There was no looking upon with his eyes. There was no physical contact at all. Just a word spoken by the living word. May I remind you tonight, Jesus is not here in the flesh. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. Listen, if you're waiting on Jesus to walk in and say, "Here I am in a body," you're going to be waiting a while. But may I remind you that when you need help, you can cry to the third heaven. You can call out to the throne room of grace. You can enter in through the blood. You can enter in past the veil. You can come in where Jesus has made way of access. And by faith, you can come in through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. He's made way. He's gave us access. He said we can come with boldness. You can come into His presence tonight. And you can ask Him for help. And though He may not be here in bodily form, can I tell you that He can come right where you're at. He can come to where your need is. He can come to your deficit. He can come to your despair. He can come to your darkness. He can come wherever you are, whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through. Jesus can come right where you are and make a difference. Don't get too excited about it. But here's what Jesus did. Jesus responded to the faith of the centurion, and He commanded and He healed this man's servant. When they got to the house, that old boy was whole. He wasn't on a 12-step program. He wasn't taking Z-Pak for 5 days and then resting for 2 weeks. Now this old boy who had palsy, who was sick, ready to die, when they turned around and walked up the road and went back up to the house, he said, "What y'all doing, boys? Let's go. I'm feeling good." The Bible said he was whole. Y'all know what whole means. That means whole. It means he was physically fit. He was back together. He had it all together. Palsy no more. I'm talking about a rare cure. Jesus didn't even have to be there. He spoke the word. You say, how did he do that? Probably the same way he spoke the universe into being. By the word of his own power. We serve an awful mighty God. We serve a mighty God. Oh, what a mighty God He is. Verse 13 in Matthew 8. Listen to what Matthew said in Matthew 8, 13. Write it down. "And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour." You know what he said? The same time that centurion had seen his shoulders, and then it appears that centurion had possibly come into the mix down there on the road, the same time Jesus said, "Hey, I'm going to heal him. He's going to be healed just like you've had faith. So be it unto you." When he got back home, they found the boy whole. They found he was feeling real good. They said, "Hey, by the way, when did you get better?" And he told them, "Well, it was about such and such a time." And I can imagine him looking, "That's about the time he said." Y'all don't believe that. I can tell you by the look. I tell you, I believe it just as soon as Jesus said, "I'm going to heal him," just as soon as Jesus said, "So be it done unto thee." That old boy probably sat up in the bed and said, "I feel good now. Nah, 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 nah." I'm telling you, Jesus has the power to heal. And he took that palsy away. It was a rare cure. The doctors couldn't do it. Medicine couldn't do it. Society couldn't do it. Religion couldn't do it. But Jesus. It was a rare cure. Now I want to give you one more point. That's where I'm trying to get to. A rare centurion, a rare call, a rare cure. Number four, write this down. It was a rare conviction. A rare confidence, if you want to say either way. A conviction. Notice what verse number 9 says. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him. Don't take that lightly. He marveled at him. And turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, "I say unto you," watch this, "I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." I have not found so great, not faith, but great faith, no, not in Israel. In Jesus' day, in His earthly ministry, here's what we find. Faith was rare. Faith was rare in the house of Israel. Matter of fact, if you was to study the Gospels, you'll find that it's the Jews that seek for a sign. It's the Jews that are looking for something miraculous. It's the Jews that are always looking for something special. The Pharisees, they wanted to see something before they would believe something. The Bible said we walk by faith. Live by faith, not sight. I'll just remind you, in 2019, there's still a lot of people in our churches that want to see it before they believe it. And I'm going to preach here just for a little while, so bear with me. There's still a lot of people in our churches that when we talk about doing something for God, oh, we can't do that, we've never done that. They've got to see it before they believe it. Well, somebody's got to believe it in order to see it. The Jews seek for a sign. This old boy did not say that it was necessary for Jesus to come to his place. He said, Jesus, you don't even have to come. I believe you can speak the word. He believed Jesus had the authority. Watch this. He had the authority to issue a command for the disease to depart. And we've already seen the cure. Jesus spoke the word, and the moment he spoke the word, the servant got healed. Y'all believe that? So what the Bible says, he believed that Jesus had the authority to do that. Verse number 7, you remember he said, saying a word, and my servant shall be healed. Saying a word. Look, church, we've got a word right here. We've got a word of the possibilities of Jesus Christ. We've got a book full of the word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know what that old boy did? He placed a sure and a simple confidence, or had a sure and a simple conviction in Jesus Christ that he was the master who is able to meet his need. We need some people in our churches today that call themselves Christians to have a sure and a simple childlike faith, a conviction that God is still able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. I'm afraid that we come to church and we go through rituals and we do this and we do that. And somebody says, why did you do this? Why did you do that? Well, that's what we've always done. Well, my question is, where's faith in the mix? When did we try to do something that we couldn't do without help? Let me ask you a question like, what would you do if you knew that God would see you through? What would you ask for? What would you attempt? One of the great missionaries, I believe it was William Terry, he said, attempt great things for God, expect great things from God. When's the last time you attempted something great for God? When's the last time you expected something great from God? Many times we have our little comfort zone Christianity. It feels good. We don't want our boat rocked. We don't want nobody to shake us up. We don't want nobody to stir our nest. We don't want nobody to rock our boat. We just want to be comfortable. You know what we need in church tonight? We need somebody not to rock our boat. We need somebody to capsize our boat from time to time. And realize that, listen, if we've got it all under control, something's wrong because it's not in our hands. Only twice, listen to this, only twice in the Bible does the Bible record that the Lord Jesus marveled at anything or anyone. Only twice. The word marveled has the idea that he wondered at or he admired or had something in admiration. And Jesus, the Bible said here in verse number 9, the Bible said that he marveled at him. When Jesus heard this boy's faith and heard him speak, the Bible said Jesus marveled at him twice. You know where they are? Right here's one of them. The first one is in Mark chapter number 6, verse 6. Jesus marveled at the unbelief of Israel. He marveled at unbelief. And right here, Luke 7, 9, he marveled at the faith of this Roman centurion. He marveled. Jesus wondered at the great faith and at the lack of faith. I wonder if he's marveling tonight looking at us. I wonder if he's marveling. I wonder if he wonders. I wonder if he's in awe and admiration at our lack of faith One way to know if you've got faith or not faith is to look at what you're attempting. If you always do what you've always done and you only do what you're comfortable doing, it's because you have no faith to expect God to do anything else. And I know it gets a little rough. Hey, it's going to stretch you a little bit. Listen, we need to be stretched. Faith is what we need. The Christian walk is a walk or a life of faith. The just shall live by faith. But listen, and though we may not see some things with our physical eye, ladies and gentlemen, by the eye of faith, we can believe and we can see some things. And some of y'all sitting here looking at me like a deer in a headlight. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, not the substance of things had in my hand or the substance of things seen. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. That's wonderful. But not only that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. What are you believing God can do? What are you believing God wants to do? Where is your faith tonight? How, if you had a thermometer for your faith, where would you be? If you had a graph, if you could graph out your level of faith, where is your faith tonight? What are you trusting God for? Do you panic every time you hit a situation and think, the bottom's out, my life's over, it's ended? Or do you hit a bump, take a deep breath and say, God's got this? You say, preacher, that sounds easy. Well, at times it does, but it's not always that easy. He's got to stretch us. He gets us to see. And listen, when you face a situation and you realize that you can't handle it, that's a good situation to be in because you can't handle it. That's exactly where He wants you to be. He wants you to realize you can't handle life. You can't fix the problem. You can't do it all on your own. You've got to have God. We have no record here in the Word of God of how much this Roman centurion was exposed to Jesus or to the Word of God. But he had faith in what he heard. I don't believe it would be for us to believe that this Roman centurion had a copy of the Word of God when it wasn't even completely written yet. I don't believe we can say that he had all of his theological ducks in a row. I don't believe he had all the book of Hebrews where he could read about the roll call of faith and the heroes of faith. And none of, he didn't have all those things to encourage him. But what he did hear and what he had heard about Jesus, he believed. I'm not asking you, can you give me a dialogue? I'm not asking you, can you debate what faith is? And can you debate all the little details? I'm asking you this, are you believing God with what you do know? Are you trusting God in your life? Are you trusting God with what He has revealed to you? You and I tonight, we have a complete, entire Word of God. We have a King James Bible. We're not lacking for revelation. We've got it right here. God has given us everything we need to know for this life right here in this book. And that would have been a good place to say amen. We've got what we need right here in this blessed old King James Bible. So here's my question. If faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17, what's hindering us tonight? What's hindering us from walking in victory? What's hindering us from, listen, from not only surviving, but thriving? What is hindering us as the children of God from not only living here, existing here, but stepping out and taking new territory for the cause of Christ? What's hindering us from instead of just being satisfied with me and my four and no more, what's stopping us from reaching out and winning others? What's keeping the church from knocking down doors and running more bus routes and winning souls and building buildings and seeing people, not just buildings to say we got buildings, but to see people coming? What's keeping us captivated? What's keeping us? It's almost like we're paralyzed. It's like we've been hypnotized. It's like somebody's dangled the carrot in front of us and we're just stunned. It's almost like we just walk through our little routine. We do our thing and we get up and we go home. What has changed about your life? When is the last time your faith has been challenged? And I'm here to tell you that if you and I will learn that we can depend on God and we can trust Him, that He can meet our needs. What about your lost loved ones? Somebody's got lost loved ones that you'd love to see saved, that you'd love to see come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you believe God can? You believe in God will? What about our family? My family's a wreck, preacher. My family's a mess. My family's chaotic. My family's out of order. My family's this. We can trust Him. He's able. I said He's able. He is able to turn our families around. He's able to put us on the right track. He's able to change hearts. He's able to change lives. He's able to change our finances. What about our finances? Well, I don't know. When's the last time you just put it out on the table and said, God, I'm going to do what You said. And I'm going to trust You because I can't do it. God, You said tithe. You want me to give to missions. You want me to do this. God, I'm going to do it Your way. I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills. When's the last time you just put it all out there and then you may have had to cancel the cable bill? That's not a necessity of life, amen. But God said, I'll tell you what, if you'll be faithful, I'll take care of your need. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. What about your health? Got health problems? When's the last time you just put it in God's hand? Do what the doctor say, do what you can do, and then trust God. You can't change it anyway by worrying about it. What about your church? Can a church grow? Why don't a church grow? I'll tell you one reason why churches grow. It's because nobody believes they can. God's told us what to do. He told us to go in highways and hedges, compel them to come in. Go in all the world, preach the gospel. We're to do our part. You go in the average church and you say something about buying a piece of land or buying a building or building a building or stepping out and doing something. Well, we don't need that. Whoa. Hold on. Are you looking at what you see now or are you looking at by eyes of faith what can be? I know. You look in here tonight and you say, preacher, we don't need a new building. We don't need that. Well, hold on. Are you looking at what's here now or are you looking at what God can do? I hope we will learn as children of God not just to simply look at what is, but look at what can be. That He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Y'all do know that if you always do what you're always doing, you'll always be what you're always being. I mean, that's simple little logic, but it's true. And if you want to grow, you've got to stretch. You can't grow by saying, well, we've always done it this way. You may have to do something different with the same fundamental truth. But you may have to reach out. You may have to step out by faith and do something. Hello? I'm under the persuasion. I'm talking about the strong conviction that God doesn't want churches just to flutter in status quo. Now, that's up to God how big a church will grow and how many new numbers He'll bring in. But it's listen, I am under the persuasion that He told us to go and He would build the church. Some of y'all scared. I mean, that talk scares y'all. I know it does. They're sitting there like, what's He talking about? I don't know. Here's what I'm saying. Why don't we have eyes of faith to believe God and see what God can do? Why don't we trust God? Why don't we say, God, what would You have? God, what would You have us do? What do You want for my family? What do You want for my church? What do You want for my future? What do You want? Jesus looked at this centurion saw his faith and saw how he responded. And he said, I had never seen faith like this, not even in Israel. And here's a Roman Gentile soldier that has great faith. Let me ask you a question tonight, and I'm wrapping this up. What do you need to believe God for? What do you? Don't think about your neighbor. Don't think about your church. What do you personally need to trust God for? Too many times, we act on what we see with the physical eye instead of by faith. Well, I can't afford to give this week because I don't have the money. What about trusting God, saying, God said give, I'm going to give, and maybe the next day God turned around and gave you something that you didn't even know was coming. You say, preacher, are you crazy? No, I'm not crazy. I'm just telling you. That's the reality of faith. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I don't have time to go back and tell you all the personal stories. I could tell you about how God, I would step out in faith and I would trust God, and I would, how in the world am I going to pay my bills? And the next thing, you know, a check comes in the mail. And it's not a personal name, but I'm just telling you, I can tell you how God met my needs down through the years. I tell you one in particular, I went on a mission trip. I know God had put it in my heart to go on a mission trip. I went with a group. We went over to the Dominican Republic. I said, I have no idea how I'm going to go. The couple said, hey, we're going to pay your way. They paid my way. It was $800-some. They paid my way. I was in the Dominican for 8 days. We come back, and I said, Lord, I'm in Bible college. I'm working at the crack house. I'm in Cracker Barrel. I said, how in the world am I going to make up a week and a half out of work? How am I going to pay my rent? How am I going to pay my school tuition? I got back. Listen to this. I got back the day that I got back and I went to work. I got a phone call from a lady that I hadn't seen in several years. She said, Travis, is this your address? I said, yes. She said, I wanted you to know me and my husband just sent you a check for $1,000. I said, wow, hallelujah. Hold on, the story ain't over. Just a few minutes later, she called back and she said, Travis, it's me again. I said, yeah, what you need? She said, I was mistaken. My husband said he didn't send you a check for $1,000. And my heart went. She said, it's $2,000. Y'all didn't catch what I said. I said, it's $2,000. Just simply trust God. If he can do that for little old me, what can he do for you? What can he do for this church? I don't know where you are tonight. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what your situation is. I don't know what the circumstance of your life is, but I do know this. This old boy had a servant that was ready to die. And Jesus didn't even have to go to the house. He just spoke the word. That may not do nothing for y'all, but that lets me know he can speak a word in my life. He can speak a word in my situation. He can speak a word into my need, whatever I need. What I've got to do, I can imagine that centurion saying, no, this guy's sick. He's got palsy. He's ready to die. It ain't no use calling for help. The doctors couldn't help him. We couldn't help him. I've got money. I've got power. I've got abilities. And I've got a, but wait a minute, I heard about a man named Jesus. And I tell you what, from what I've heard, I believe that this Jesus can make a difference. So I tell you what I'm doing. I'm willing to take a step. Boys, y'all go get Jesus. You know what we need to do? We just need to take what we've heard and believe it. It's like we want to see it all laid out here. Well, I want to see the finances. I want to see the blueprints. I want to see exactly how you're going to do this. You do understand that walking by faith, you don't always see how you're going to do it. My wife can tell you time and time again. She'll say, how in the world are you going to take care of this? I say, honey, I don't know, but go look at the checkbook. The bills are always paid. We've never went in the red. I'm telling you, it's not all about money, but I'm telling you, if God can pay my bills, if God can put a roof over my head, if God can keep my fat belly fat, if God can take care of me, He can take care of you. If we'll believe and act in faith, He's able. Listen, church, and I'm done. God honors and rewards faith. God It's like he's honored by faith, and then he honors our faith. When we trust him, when we come to him and say, God, I got a situation and I can't handle it. I can't meet this need. I can't fix this problem. But I know you can, and I believe you will. It's like he gets a kick. You better believe I can. And since you believe it, hey, I'm fixing to show you. He said, I call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You can't ask anything too much for him. Ask Abraham, is there anything too hard for God? Ask Jeremiah, is anything too hard for God? You say, preacher, you don't know what I'm going through. I don't need to know what you're going through. I know the God who's over all. Why don't we learn to stretch a little bit? Come out of our comfort zone. Trust God. Put our faith in him. Seek him. Step out by faith. Walk in places we've never walked. Take steps. Reach heights we've never reached. It's a rare case. I say this and I'm done. It's a rare case for somebody to walk like that in our day. But God still rewards and honors faith. Father, take the message, use it in Jesus' name. Use it for your glory. We thank you in advance for what you're going to do. I pray that, Lord, if there's just one person here tonight that you challenge to walk by faith, if you just challenge one person and help them get a hold of this, oh God, I'd like to see the whole church get a hold of this. We can trust you. There's no telling what you could do in the families and the individuals and in the body right here at this local New Testament. No telling what you could do with New Hope Baptist Church. New Hope Baptist Church doesn't have to wander in the choir of the last 50 years, but New Hope Baptist Church can reach new heights. These homes can reach new heights. These individuals can reach new heights. God help us. God help us in our Christian walk to realize that you can and you will. Help us to trust you. Place our faith in you. Oh God, help us tonight. In Jesus' name. We're standing all across the auditorium. If you need to come, you come. You mind the Lord, maybe.